I'm with you. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. I'm going to read this text and then we're going to pray. Paul says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Let's pray. Father, I am totally, absolutely, completely, wholly, and utterly dependent on you. I have nothing to offer without Christ from this pulpit. I have nothing good to say that is of eternal value without it being said by your Spirit, by Christ who is in me. Pray, Father, that as I preach your word, that it would be your word at work in hearts and minds. I pray for all of us here that we would be fully and completely and totally dependent on you, that we would look to you as the only means by which we could worship God in spirit and truth. Because that's who you seek, Father. You seek those who worship you in spirit and truth, because you are spirit and you are truth. So in order for us to worship you right now in the preaching and the hearing and listening and the application of your word, of your truth for us, we need your spirit to make us spiritual so that we can worship you in spirit. Because without you, we're just alone, trying to do something that's not possible without you. We depend completely on you. Do something amazing. In Jesus' name, amen. So anxiety is what Paul is dealing with in this particular text. Anxiety is the most common mental illness in America. The most common mental illness in America. It is a real problem in our country, and it is a real problem for the church, because there are people in the church who have anxiety. And of the people who have anxiety, only 1/3 of those who are suffering from it actually get what the Anxiety and Depression Association of America calls sufficient treatment. But we have something better. We have a sufficient God. He is a better treatment. And I think that's Paul's solution in Philippians 4, 6 through 7. So verse 6. Verse 6, Paul says, "Do not be anxious about anything." So this is the command, in anything, in every scenario. And if you notice, look at verse 6, he says, do not be anxious about anything. And then he says, but in everything. So these are like superlative statements that in any situation, any circumstance, scenario, or situation, no matter what happens, do not be anxious. Meaning you have no excuse to be anxious, because nothing is excluded from anything or everything. So there's no excuse for anxiety. That sounds kind of harsh. Especially if you suffer from anxiety. Because people who suffer from anxiety, I'll tell you what they're thinking. If you're in this room and you suffer from some degree of anxiety, maybe you're just simply, you know, you got no disorder, you're just kind of a person, maybe gets a little worried, a little anxious. Maybe you have an anxiety disorder to some degree. Okay, and maybe there's somewhere in between that. But depending on that degree of anxiety that you normally feel, just me talking about this is probably just kind of stirring the pot a little bit for you. And you're kind of going, yeah. And you start thinking about, oh, I have anxiety. And the things that make you anxious and people talking to you about your problems makes you anxious. And people bringing up your problems in front of other people. And maybe, does Pastor Mark know that I'm anxious? Oh my gosh, is he talking about me? What's happening? I mean, so there's like anxiety can totally rise up within anybody, you know? And so, first of all, I want to be sensitive to that. And I want those who don't feel like they have anxiety or worry issues, if they don't worry about things very much, to be sensitive to those who do. Because this verse is the go-to verse. Oh, I'm so anxious. Dude, don't be anxious. Just pray about it. Like, that's just, we just throw it out there like it's some magic, you know, wand. You can just wave at people's problems. It just goes away. Because that's Paul's solution. Don't be anxious. Pray about it. That is the answer. So I'm not making fun of it, because that is the solution to worry. It is the answer. But I think we don't really grasp this idea of prayer. That's really the problem, is when we say pray about it, we're not doing the kind of prayer Paul's telling us about in verse 6 and verse 7. That is not the kind of prayer that we pray often when we think about suffering from worry and anxiety. So, anxiety is, it's an outpouring, it's a result of worry. Worry creates an anxious mind. Worry is sin because worry is the absence of trust in God. We trust God, and when we don't trust God, it's worrying, okay? We begin to worry. And if we're worrying, we're not trusting God, and more on that in a minute. And when people don't suffer from it, they just don't get what people who do suffer from anxiety really are going through. So I'm calling for two things as far as the you know, real practical application of, you know, how am I supposed to interact with this reality, this text, this idea of not being anxious. Number one, if you have anxiety, this is the solution. I guess there's three things. Number two, if you don't have anxiety, this is the prevention. And number three, if you don't have anxiety, be sensitive to those who do. Because this might be somebody with anxiety might hear the sermon and it's over and they go, that was the most amazing word I've ever heard. It's exactly what I need to hear. Oh my goodness, it was the Holy Spirit who just totally told me everything I need to do. Are they going to have it all figured out by tomorrow morning? No. I mean, these are things that we preach. When I preach God's word to you, I don't expect you to be perfect before the sermon ends. You know what I'm saying? Like, these are practices, disciplines, trials, challenges. And so as people who struggle with these things, whether it's anxiety or a different text or different message or different problem, that we need to be gracious as people learn to practice them and grow in them. So, sensitivity to those who are suffering from anxiety. Because it is the most common thing you'll run into in the world and in the church. And people who have it don't want to tell you about it. They just feel it. They just worry. They walk in the room. There's lots of people. Deep breath. What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? Oh my gosh, she's coming over here to talk to me. I don't know what to say. You know, like, it's a little funny, but it's real. I mean, that's how people feel. Like, panic, worry. Now, that's more of like the higher end of it almost being some sort of disorder. And then there's just, I got a problem, and I don't know what to do with it, so I'm going to mull over it, not present it to God, and worry about it. That's the low end of the emotional factor. So there's emotional struggle of people who really suffer with anxiety, and then there's the low end of the emotional struggle of anxiety. Just people who don't have anxiety disorders, but just don't bring their concerns and their problems and their worries and their needs to God. It festers and creates anxiety. So Verse 6 tells us how to do the beginning of verse 6. The rest of verse 6 tells us how to do the beginning of verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything. How? But, which means rather, or instead of being anxious, do this. So do not be anxious, but do this. This is the how. This is how you do not be anxious. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. That's the answer. Now, a lot of people, what they'll do is they'll take, they'll say, okay, that means pray. Pray to God. Yeah, pray. That's how you deal with anxiety. It's so much more than that. It's not just pray. I mean, prayer is like the vehicle that gets you to the things that are inside of this prayer. Okay, so like, you're praying to God, and you're driving this vehicle, and your desire is to get to a destination, which is God solving your anxiety. And along the way, in this car of prayer, you're going to stop, and you're going to pick up every kind of prayer that you can imagine. Whether it's falling on your face in tears prayers, or it's, you know, just, you know, those quick ones that you throw up, like, oh, Lord, I need your help. Those prayers, or somewhere in between, every prayer you see on the drive to God's solution, you're going to grab, pray, pray. You're going to pray all the time. Ephesians 6:18, we just read it about a month ago, and Paul says, praying at all times, okay, and in all ways in which we pray, in all the different forms of prayer, implement them in your anxieties and worries. You know why? It shows that you need God. That's what using all these prayers are. Man, I tell you what, this morning I needed God so much. I prayed in private. I prayed when I was walking from one place to another, and I prayed right here in front of you because I almost turned around and said, does this seem weird that I'm just standing here with my back turned to you guys? I just want you to know that I'm praying. Like, at least I'm doing something spiritually functional, right? Okay. So you don't think I'm weird. I just wanted to inform you, okay? But the point is that you implement all forms of prayer possible, okay? And along the way, you pick up supplication. You're in the car, supplication. Yes, I'm going to take some of that and add it to the means by which God will solve my worries and my anxieties, and I can't go anywhere without putting some thanksgiving in the gas tank. And then I'm going to let my requests be made known to God. This is the how. It's how you avoid anxiety and worry. When concerns and needs arise, before they become worry and anxiety, you bring your need to God in prayer. And prayer is the answer. We're missing the depths, I think. And so concerns, you know, let's differentiate between worries and concerns and anxiety and concern. Concerns are not sin. You can be concerned about something. You can have a concern and discern with concern in a situation without it becoming worry. The problem is when we got these concerns, you know, like let's say, for example, you have a concern, like you see something that's being taught in the church that isn't biblical. I'm concerned about that. You ought to be. That's a good thing. That's a radar. Now, if you do nothing about it, what's going to happen? It's going to fester. And then all of a sudden, the false teaching that you're hearing is going to grow. It's going to spread. You're going to start worrying. Oh, my gosh, now it's going to spread here, and it's going to spread there. And then that false teaching is going to infest the church, and the church is going to fall apart. What are we going to do, God? You know, like, well, you just bring it to me. God's like, bring it to me before, well, it's a concern. Now it's a worry. When it was a concern, bring it to me before it becomes a worry. That's your prevention. Okay, but there's nothing wrong with having a concern, noticing something, or just having any concern about your life, okay? So the problem is when we don't take them to the Lord and we leave ourselves helpless against the need in our sinfulness, we fall into this worry and anxiety. But even when we're already in worry and anxiety, we still bring it to God in prayer. So supplication, okay? Supplication is where this prayer, I think, really becomes efficient. Okay, supplication literally means to come up from under and calm. That's what it means. Supplement means to come up from under and calm. Supplication is a request to resolve, a request to God to resolve your anxiety, to resolve your worry, to resolve your concerns, to resolve your problems, to resolve your needs. It's showing need. Supplication is pleading with need. So in Matthew 6:34, Jesus says this, speaking of our need, "Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself." Sufficient, a huge word, that's a huge word. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. The day has a sufficient amount of trouble. Don't worry about tomorrow. You got enough on your plate. Sufficient for today are its troubles. If the problems are sufficient for today, we are blessed because our God is also sufficient for today. And here's what Jesus is saying. He's also sufficient for tomorrow. So don't worry about tomorrow. You got enough today, and God is sufficient for it all. In fact, he reserved tomorrow for a specific time, which is not today. He called it tomorrow because he's sovereign over it all. And we worry about tomorrow, and God is sufficient for it. It's already supplied for. And we're like, "Oh, what about tomorrow?" And he's like, "What about today?" Okay, so today has its own sufficiency of problems, and we have a sufficient God who can handle today. So why worry? Why be anxious? Why let the seed of worry take root in your heart and mind and grow into anxiety for something that God intends to supply in his own time? He ordains tomorrow's anxieties to be tomorrow's so that you don't have to deal with them today. When we don't understand God's sovereignty, it affects everything about the way we think. If I believe that tomorrow's just waiting there to pounce on me, and I'm not believing that God ordained tomorrow's problems for tomorrow so that I could focus on today's problem today and be dependent on him for today's problems and be dependent on him for tomorrow's problems today and not have to worry about tomorrow today, because God is sovereign. He's in control. He's got that idea worked out. That I don't have to live tomorrow right now. That frees me up from a lot of worry when I believe in the sufficiency and supremacy and sovereignty of God. So the question becomes, how do we get God to act on our behalf? How do we get God to tend to our needs and our concerns and our worries and our anxieties? Okay, if God is sufficient to supply, that's the point. God is sufficient to supply for every worry, right? He will handle, can handle your concerns before they become worries. And he can deal with your anxieties and worries as you're in them. He is sufficient to supply for that need. And prayer is the means by which you receive that supply, if it's done this way. So how do we get God to act on our behalf? How do we get God to tend to our needs, to our concerns and our worries and anxieties? How does God supply for my worry, for my anxiety? The answer is trust. 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 Trust God. That's how God supplies. He supplies when you trust him. Psalm 37:5 promises us this. Commit your ways to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. That is straight to the point. Let me summarize. I'm going to read it again, then I'm going to summarize it for you. Commit your ways to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. Obey and trust, and he will respond. Obey and trust, and he will respond. That is the formula for your anxiety. I tell you what, if I'm living in habitual and constant sin, I need you to listen to me right now. If I'm living in habitual and constant sin, day after day after day after day, and even though I don't want to do it, and even though I struggle with it, and I'm trying to battle this sin, but I choose to sin every day, and I'm stuck in the sin every day, and that is my character and my nature, I am not committing my ways to the Lord. And that does not reveal trust in him. Because what you trust is whatever that thing is that you keep going to. That what you do reveals what you trust. If you're praying all day, someone who prays all day trusts God. Why else would you pray all day? You must believe what you're doing. That's what trust is, belief. I believe in the God to whom I'm praying to. So I pray all day. That kind of person, they trust God. The person who doesn't do that, but instead doesn't commit their ways to the Lord and isn't spending this time in prayer, you know who they are? Anxious people. Worriers. These people are worried. I would be worried too if I was living in habitual sin that I knew was sin and I was disobeying God and not pleasing to Him. And I certainly wouldn't expect God to act on my behalf. Is He gracious to break through your own sin? Yes. Does God act without your trust? Yes. Okay? God acted upon you by the power of the Holy Spirit long before you wanted Him. Okay, so I'm not negating God's grace. What I'm saying is, if you aren't committing your ways to the Lord and you aren't trusting in Him, you're probably worried. I'd be worried too if I was living in daily, habitual sin that I chose to return to over and over. Now, if you're not, but you keep returning to sins that you aren't purposely going to, you know, fits of rage and anger. Oops, that one slipped out. Got angry. Oh. Other sins that, attitude sins, you know, maybe you cuss all the time, you know, you don't want to, but it slips out all the time. Like, man, I really don't want to do that anymore. It keeps coming out. It's just a habit. I got to break that habit. You're not doing it intentionally. It just keeps falling out. Okay. In those scenarios, there's still this worry and this anxiety that hovers around them. Like, every time, and this is for me personally, just every time I sin, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm covered by grace. Woo! Like, there's this moment of like, oh, I'm going to hell. Like, and I know that's not true, but like, there's just this fear about how serious my sin is. And in those instances, God is gracious to me, not all the time, but God is gracious to me to remind me to pray. Literally to pray, to just stop and go, forgive me, I so don't want to be like this. Because if I let that little bit of sin just fester, it grows into worry and anxiety, and I become overwhelmed with anxiety. Okay, so this idea of committing your ways to the Lord, trusting in Him, and He will act, God responds to our trust in Him. And when we're in need, this is more than just praying. It's faith in Him, and it's trust in Him, and it's dependence on Him that motivates Him to come up and calm, to supply for you. That's what motivates Him to act. When you are dependent on Him, when you trust in Him, and you reveal that in the way that you commit your life and your behavior to Him. If I am returning to habitual sin, I don't trust in Him. That's not trust in Him. That's trust in the thing that I run to. And that person lives in anxiety. Whether they realize it or not, there's some degree of worry that they live in. So, that idea that God is motivated to act by my obedience and my trust in Him, that trust in Him can only come from Him. So for a moment there was a little bit of a hint of legalism, like, oh, I have to work really hard at trusting God and He will act for me. Like, if I don't, God won't love me. If I do, God will come to me. It's this legalism idea, you know, that I can earn God's attention or favor. If you trust God, that is a product of the Holy Spirit trusting God in you. You can't trust God without God. Okay? You can't trust God without the Spirit of God trusting God through you. He motivates, He moves you, He trusts through you. He reminds you, He calls attention to the Father. He is the one who motivates you to trust Him. You can't do it without Him. So our prayer goes like this. Someone who has anxiety, hey man, don't be anxious, just pray. All right, God, help me. That is an effective prayer. Psalmists say it. But they usually go on. And there's a little more depth to their prayers, even. So our prayers go from simply just being like, ah, God, help me, I don't know what to do, to change into like something a little deeper, a little more dependent, a little more trust-centered, like, God, give me total... It was a prayer in my heart before I started this sermon, because I realize this just standing here right now. I feel completely dependent on him. Like, I want to be more dependent on him right now than I am right now. I want you to feel more dependent on him right now than you feel right now. That requires a total removal of self and a total filling of God. And our prayer changes when we start thinking this way, when we start realizing I got to trust God, and my trust comes from him, my help comes from him. And my prayer goes something more like this: God, give me total and complete dependence on you and trust in you that you will supply my needs. Without you, I'm helpless. Without you, I can't do this. I can't solve my anxiety and my worries. I can't deal with my sin. But with your help, I can trust you. And with your help in trusting you, you will act on my behalf. There's a promise you make for me. And those are the kind of prayers that get a little bit deeper than just being like, God, I just need help with my sin. I don't know what to do. Not that God won't listen to those, but my desire this morning is to get you to think about praying about your worries, anxieties, and sins, and problems, and concerns, and fears, and needs a little deeper. To just shave off the top and be like, let's just go a little further than we normally do, and let's just go from praying about your problems to praying the right way about your problems and see if it's more effective. So Paul makes a fundamental addition to this prayer. He says, it must be with thanksgiving. Now, this does not imply that quick generic, thank you, God. So I love, there's a very, very little person in my life whom I love very much, and this person prays at nighttime, and they say, so your turn to pray, and he goes, thank you. He just mentions every instance or scenario in which he was involved, or everything that he was involved in for the day. Thank you, God, for my toy that I'm holding. Thank you, God, for the carrots we ate. Thank you, God, for the... And just goes through a list of... Thank you, God, we went to the gym. Thank you, God, we went to church. Thank you, God, we went to the store. Thank you, God, we went to the restaurant. Thank you, God, for my pants. Thank you, God, for my blanket. Thank you... And I'm just like, Like, yeah, can you get to the end? And that's kind of funny because, you know, it's like he's just... But I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, he truly is glorifying God. Like, he's thankful. We're teaching him that God is the one who gives this stuff. He's thankful to God for all of it. This morning, my boys were drinking grape juice, and I brought them in. I said, are you enjoying that grape juice? And they said, yeah, I'm enjoying this grape juice. And I said, why are you enjoying it? Because it's good. I said, why is it good? Because it tastes good. It's got sugar. Want to say sugar? So, well... You know, let's talk about why we enjoy it. So we start talking about why we enjoy it. Let's enjoy it to the glory of God. Let's give thanks to God in enjoying it. How, you know, and so I learned this from a friend recently and had this conversation with my kids and decided we're going to start exploring with my kids ways in which this is glorifying to God and why we can enjoy him. And then I transitioned. Now we're going to go to church and we're going to enjoy God at church. We're going to worship him and sing and pray. And this, you see, that I'm trying to create, and I'm working on it. I'm not there, but I'm trying to create in my home an atmosphere of thankfulness, giving thanks, enjoying God. Okay? But that, just the list of thanks that my son gives, that's not the kind of thanks that I'm talking about. I don't think that's what Paul's talking about. It's the heart, though. The heart of my son's little prayer, where just thanks, just rattles off a list of things he's thankful for. That is the heart of this thanksgiving. But I'm talking about more, deeper, fuller expressions of thanks. So thanksgiving is a total and complete attitude and perspective adjuster. Catch that? Thanksgiving. This is why it's so important to be in this prayer. This prayer has to have thanksgiving. If you want God to deal with your worries and your anxieties, you gotta have thanksgiving. This is more than just saying, thanks, God. Thanks for being this and thanks for doing that. Thumbs up, awesome, love you, God, thank you. It's more than that, it is deeper than that. This is, and Thanksgiving is, and I'm gonna say it again, complete and total attitude and perspective adjuster. Thanksgiving implies recognition of the one who supplies for you. Why else would you give thanks? You wouldn't give thanks to somebody or anything unless that person or thing supplied something to you, so you give thanks to it. So Thanksgiving implies one who supplies. And since God is the one whom the prayer is addressed to, and he is the supply of our needs, and he is the one to whom we give thanks, that means Thanksgiving is, that's what Paul's saying, Thanksgiving is recognition of God. And not just of his existence, who he is, and is a response of that recognition. So Thanksgiving is recognizing God for who he is and responding to that recognition by giving thanks. And this recognition of God and Thanksgiving is the foundation from where the biblical thoughts about God are launched. Did you hear that? This recognition of God that Paul's talking about when he says give with thanksgiving, which means with attentiveness to God, awareness of what he's done and who he is and what he's like, remembering him, recognition of this God and thanksgiving is the foundation from where our biblical thoughts about God are launched. Worry and anxiety are the product of unbiblical and untrue thoughts about God and who he is and how he acts. That's where worry and anxiety come from, when we're thinking about God wrong or not thinking about God at all. That's where worry comes from. When people come to me as a counselor and say, I have this or that problem, I'll say, have you prayed about it? Have you searched God's word? Those are my two first questions. You prayed about it? You searched God's word for it? Nope. Well, there's your problem. Period. I'm not saying that if you go home and pray about it for 15 minutes and come back, it'll just be gone. This kind of pray about it. And then maybe it takes a week. And maybe it takes 5 years. Maybe it takes to the day you're on your deathbed for this prayer to be to break through your anxiety and worry. But it is not the results that are your concern. It is the practice of bringing this to God, to bring in your worry and bring in your worry. You wake up every morning, you go, I'm still anxious. I'm still worried. I'm still letting concerns grow and run, grow in my mind and my heart and run wild and rampant in me. And I just need to practice, keep bringing it back to him, to keep doing it. And I'm going to be faithful in that practice. God, why aren't you taking care of these concerns of mine? Now I'm worried. He's like, keep bringing them. Keep revealing dependence. Keep trusting me, and I will fend off the worry. So Thanksgiving is a platform to correct. Thanksgiving is a platform to correct these unbiblical ideas about God, which will remove worry and anxiety. And it is a platform on which we build biblical and true thoughts and ideas and perspectives about God, such as, he will not leave me or forsake me. He is my shepherd who makes me lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. His spirit helps me. His grace is sufficient. His steadfast love comforts me. He renews a right spirit within me. He is my hope. And here's another thought to think about. All of these truths about God are promises that he does fulfill for me in Christ. That's a promise. A promise is that his promises are fulfilled for me in Christ. That's a sweet promise. Those are correct biblical thoughts about God. Those are the things we need to run to. That's what makes me thankful. Lord, I'm worried and I don't know what to do. Thanks for... I don't know. I don't know what to be thankful for because I don't think about you right, God. But if my prayer is, These things, and by the way, all those things that I read, those are directly from the Bible. Those aren't my ideas. If I can remember these promises or these true thoughts about God, the way he acts and who he is, not just the things he does like these things, but the way he is, that he is a sovereign God, a supreme God, a grand God, a bigger than me God, a God whose thoughts are beyond my thoughts and ways are beyond my ways, who's sovereign over all things and over all affairs in my life, and not only knows my future, but plans it, and is secured for me an eternal hope in Christ, in which I can say no matter what happens along the way is good. Those are things, those are true ideas about God that turn steers away from, steers away from anxiety and worry and into thankful thoughts about who God is as a solver of my problems. So, Thanksgiving is a prayer in which we think these things, we recognize them, we trust these things, and when we trust these true thoughts about God, he acts. He acts. So in Psalm 42:6, the psalmist says this. He wails. The psalmist wails over this and says, "My soul is cast down within me." That sounds like anxiety to me. And this is what he says. "Therefore, I," what? "Remember you. My soul is cast down within me, therefore I remember you." This is not just remembering that God is there. There is a God. Yes, I believe in God. Yeah, I remember you. Okay, I've got anxiety, I'm worried, and my soul is cast down within me. I'm in despair, I'm in a pit. All I have to do is remember that God exists. That doesn't help. That's not what remembering is. If I ask you to remember your first grade teacher or somebody from your past, you don't just remember their existence, you remember who they are, right? If I said, "Tell me about one of your favorite high school teachers or your favorite athlete growing up or something like that, or somebody, you know, that you know right now that you haven't seen in maybe a year or something, and you would describe what they're like and something they've done." That's what remembering them means. So this remembrance is a remembrance of who God is, what he's like, how he acts and thinks, what he promises, and how he fulfills those promises. So when you remember someone that you don't remember, you don't just remember their existence and move on. You think of their character and their personality, what you liked about them, what you didn't like about them. Okay, if we apply that memory to God, we remember in despair truths about God that are so good. Like, he is sovereign over all problems. He is supreme over every moment and over the anxiety and over my despair and over the way in which I deal with my despair and over the hope in which he's going to infuse into my despair. He is supreme around it all. It's his. He owns it. He owns despair. He owns anxiety. He owns the solution. He owns the hope. He owns your thanksgiving. He provides and gives and takes all of it. There is no means by which anything that happens, happens without him providing it. David said it in 1 Chronicles 29:14. He said, "Who are we, God, and what are my people that we should offer anything to you? All that we have is from you." I don't offer you thanksgiving. I give it back. I don't give thanks to you because I'm especially keen and aware of your awesomeness, God. I'm just one of those uniquely awesome people who just happen to know how great you are. No, he makes you aware of his own supremacy. That's the only way in which you can thank him for it. And his grandeur. Do we even get the bigness of God? No, we don't. We just don't. We just don't. I try to think about it like this way, like the universe is like never ending big to us, right? It might have an end somewhere out there. I don't know. Maybe it does, doesn't. We don't know. God knows. I think about him standing around the universe, as big as that is, and just kind of like holding it like, "Oh, I'm big grand God." That doesn't even compare. He's not just large in size. He's large in character and qualities, and it's just his grandeur is the depth and the width and the length and the height and the fourth dimension and fifth dimension of thoughts about God that we can't even fathom. and his sufficiency. Yet, the sovereign, supreme, grand God supplies for the birds? The birds. Birds are like flying rats, okay? Like, they're beautiful, and some, you know, some of them are really pretty. I'm sorry if you like love birds and I just offended you. Okay, but they're just, you know, they're just birds. I mean, people shoot birds and then eat them. I mean, they're just birds, right? And Jesus is like, look at the birds of the air. Does your Father not provide for them? How much more important are you? He cares for the birds. He's the grand sovereign God who holds the universe like this and laughs at it. And then laughs at my idea that that's how he laughs at it, right? That's how great he is. And yet he is here for you and your problems. And Jesus reminds us, if he cares for something as small as birds, won't he also care for you? See the depths between his reality, who he is, and what a bird is, and that you're in between that. You're covered. He's got you. Those are true thoughts that create things. That's what it means to remember him. So when my soul is cast down within me, I remember you. I remember these true thoughts about you. It fixes the way that I think about my problems and my worries and anxieties, and it reminds me that I have a sovereign God who handles them. So Paul gives us this command, do not be anxious about anything, and a solution, which is to bring a request to God, trusting him to supply, and recognizing and remembering who he is and what he is like. But what we must see is that all of that is meant for something much bigger. It's meant to change the way we think. It's meant to adjust our perspectives of who God is. And in that adjustment and recognition of his grand supremacy, we find that trusting this God is not only easy, but enjoyable. And when we get there, we find dependence on him to be a pleasure. And in that dependence and trust in him, he acts. He acts. Now we're getting to verse 7 here, and I'm going to stop. And we're going to do verse 7 next week. And I'm going to pray. But I'm going to leave you with this question. How does God act? How does God act? So verse 7 tells us how, but there's so much more there than just reading what it says. We're going to look into the depths of that reality and what it means for God to bring us, for bring this peace to us and to act this way. So now we know our role, how we respond, how when Paul says, do not be anxious, not just like, just stop. Just stop being anxious. Knock it off. You're whining. You're complaining. Get over it. Stop. That's not what do not be anxious means. Do not be anxious by doing these things. Bringing your prayer to God, asking for supplication, asking for God to supply and be sufficient for your need. And do it with thanksgiving, which comes from a mind that's been adjusted, properly adjusted to the right thoughts about who God is and how he behaves and the way in which he acts and thinks in light of the way in which we sin and act and think. That's our role. That we're not just saying, so when people are anxious, don't just walk up and go, hey, do not be anxious about it, man. Just pray about it. That is such a lame presentation. If someone's anxious, you grab them by the collar. No, you don't do that to people who are anxious, actually. But you tell them, hey, man, you what you need to do? You need to not be anxious. The Bible commands you not to be anxious. And you know how you not be anxious? You pray about it. You know how you pray about it? You remember God when you're in despair. You remember his sovereignty and his supremacy and his shepherding and his love and his concern and his care and his grandeur and his greatness and his ability and willingness to come to you, to not leave you nor forsake you, but to pull you out of the pit and drag you to life and breathe breath into your problems and solve your worries and call you to himself. And as your attention goes from the problem to the problem solver, the problem solver deals with your anxiety in the back end. That is the kind of prayer you need to bring to God if you've got worry. That ought to shake people out of their boots, right? No reason why you can't ask God for the gift of preaching when someone needs it. Okay? So, that is our role, and that's my call to you if you're worried or if you've got any kind of problem or anxiety, that you would have that attitude where I am adjusting the way I think about my God. It's going to adjust and change and totally destroy my worries and anxieties. And in that reality, as I think about God that way, you know what that makes me feel? Faith. Trust, belief. I know, you know what? My thoughts about God are completely adjusted now. And as my thoughts about God are adjusted, I begin to trust Him. It just makes so much sense. This God is so good to me. He's so real, and He's shown me. You know what the rest of this Psalm 42:6 says? That my soul is cast down within me, therefore I remember you. And then He mentions, specifically there are places from way back, ancient, you know, Near East, so I don't remember what they are, but he mentions specific instances in which God had given him a reason to remember him. And so I think about, oh, the times when God dealt with this. He's proven himself over and over and over again to me, and therefore I trust him. God is, and the Bible tells me he's faithful. I believe the Bible, and I believe that when God's word says God is faithful, that I can trust that. I can trust God, and that trust initiates action by God on your behalf. And the only way you get there in the first place is when he brings you. And if that doesn't create thanksgiving, then nothing will. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the goodness of your grand, supreme, and sovereign nature. In our anxieties and our worries, we trust you. We remember you. We look to your character and quality. And we pray that you would remind us from the tiniest little concern, God. I don't care if it's just almost a nothing concern, almost forgettable, that you would just break through it so big and so grand in such a way that is no way for us not to notice that you are invading our worries, invading our anxieties, and reveal yourself and create in us right thoughts about you that have adjusted the way we trust you, and that in that trust, we would begin to see you act on our behalf, removing worry and anxiety. Prepare our hearts for the rest of this text this week. I pray that your word already would be sufficient for this week's worries, and that next week's text would be sufficient for the remainder of what is needed. And that in all this, this whole plan, this whole sovereign scheme you have to work out our problems and our concerns and our worries and our anxieties would bring you glory. And that even as we struggle to do this well, you would be glorified in our efforts, in our trials, in our attempts to trust you and to think right about you, to prevent worries or to prevent concerns becoming worries. Patient with us as we try and bring us to trust so that you'd be glorified. We pray this in Jesus' name.